بشه. Yo.
There's a thing in our com where they call me Brother Adam the whole time, and I'm like, why? Just call me Adam, bro. It's fine. Okay. Yo, it's fine. Guys, I must tell you a story of how Rian asked me to preach. I must start with that, and then I'm going to start. But we had a conversation. Me and Tasha sat down with Rian and Ellen on Tuesday. And Rian's like, I'm going to ask you two questions. And I'm like, oh, what did I do now? And then the thing at the end is like, hey, can you preach? I was like, ha, ha, ha. Rian's got jokes. And he's like, I'm not joking. And then I sent him the longest read more message you've ever seen past 10 o'clock on Thursday. This is what I'm feeling. But before I start with anything that I want to say, I want to put this very clearly. This morning, the intention is not to preach to you, because I don't really know how to do that. The intention is not to perhaps teach you something, but this is how I want to position it. I want to talk this morning and share a little bit of my experience of what it means to be a son in this house. And so, like, if you hear anything this morning, please, I know I play some guitar every now and again, I'm a youth leader, all of that stuff, please listen to it, or try and hear through that lens, that this is just a son in the house sharing his experience. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. I'm going to give a bit of an introduction to who I am, for those that don't know, even though I've been, like Rian said, I've been here for a long time. So my name is Adam Fourie. My parents are Afrikaans. They were like, we're not going to raise you Afrikaans. I don't know why. But yes, I am a middle child. I don't have middle child syndrome. Lord delivered me of that. But I have a younger brother who is probably still sleeping. I don't know if you hear. Clap your hands. Okay, it's not. Okay. So I have a little brother that's now taller than me. He's 22, 23 years old. And then I have an older sister, Lauren. Lauren, raise your hand. Hello, my sister. And Lauren is married to that man that is doing the AV. Some people know him as Hake. His name is Hank, not Hake. That's definitely not Hake. Right. Yeah, but I want to say this morning, like, without my siblings, I would not be here. Just as much as I wouldn't be here without you guys, I definitely wouldn't be here without my siblings. So thank you for being my sibling. Oh, yeah, that's like a half a heart, but it's fine. So, I even wrote down a title. Yeah, that's wild. It's fine. No, title's too wild. So like Rian said, like, I've been here for the longest time ever. And when I mean that, I was here when we were still called Kingdom Faith Family Church. Our buns were KFFC. It's like Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's like, I don't know what is happening, but it was strange. But for those that don't know, the building or the direction or the stage was there, and we had like massive, like, I don't know what, on the side of the, it was wild. It was plates, yes. And so people say like, oh, it's part of the furniture. I'm like, I was here before the furniture. Let's go. So I think I'm like the youngest OG in the congregation. Like literally, I think I am. So, but yeah, I think my parents joined Kingdom Faith Family when they were in Thornton still. So I remember we were meeting in a school hall. And then we bought this building, and then we joined Josh Chen. And so when I say I'm a son in the house, I'm not just saying it like, I mean, I've been here. I will say there was a time where I came here, but I wasn't necessarily a part of church. And what I mean is, like, I came here and I sat down and then I left. But I do believe I'm a part of church now. And I believe God has brought me into that. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me. Yo, I shared a portion of this with the youth. And I'm like, I'm not going to start with I was born in a mountain. Because that's I wasn't born in a hospital. But if you want to know more about that, you can talk to me later. Okay, cool. So that's enough about introductions. I'm going to run through my life a little bit, and then I'm going to get to a point, and then we're going to take it from there. So, we three siblings. Oh, and another part of the story that's important. We grew up in Blackheath. For those that don't know where Blackheath is, it's 30 minutes away. You don't have to worry where. It's like if you're on your way to Stellenbosch or Somerset West and you take the wrong turn, you're like, where am I? I'm in Blackheath. I was raised there. Like it's just a random place. But I will say my growing up was the best. Like, you know, people are like, oh, I like this. My bro, I like nothing. So we grew up next to a park, and there was houses facing the park, and people had children. I was part of the people that had children, and all the children just went to the park, and we played until we couldn't see our hands, and the ball got lost into the darkness. And so life was great. Yo, as a kid, my bro, I was living my best life. But I think when you are a child, there's like stuff you don't really see at home because you don't know. Your child is like, mommy, I played soccer for 7 hours. My leg is bruised and my top is whatever. And you just like, life is great. But there was a lot of stuff I didn't realize that was happening at home. But still, my parents brought me to church. And I think by the age of 11, 12. So there is, it's the toilet now. It used to be classroom 5. And I remember one morning, they took kind of the guys, it wasn't youth, but wasn't like kids. They took us aside and they were just explaining things. And I can't remember, but Jules was there. Jules was explaining something. Thank you, Jules, wherever you are. If you are, yeah, I don't know. That's awkward. Okay, that's fine. But Jules was busy explaining something, and that was the first time I had an experience with God, a true encounter with God. And so I gave my life to the Lord. The youth, he said, so you got saved in the toilet? No, it was classroom 5, get it right, just saying, please. And so yeah, and that started an amazing journey with God. But as I got older, got into high school, I started realizing, ooh, there's a bit of issues at home. And so my experience with home was this, and I don't know how much people can relate to this, but my mother was a superwoman that dragged us to church even when we didn't want to, and just, she was amazing. For those that know her, knew her, she was amazing. And my father was kind of like, something happened in his life and he just kind of went off the rails. And so at home, you're God's hide and life is great, you play, and then you get home and it just feels like war. And so I was explaining to the youth, it's like, it was like I went home and it was very clear that there was two kingdoms that was just fighting against each other. And so even easy stuff was hard, like making food, sitting down, eating, talking, and hard stuff was impossible. And so I grew up in a household, and my siblings can agree with me, I grew up in a household where everything was just, you can't, like, this just doesn't make sense. And so you get older, and then you start realizing, okay, this is an issue. And so there was two things that happened to me. My response to this as Adam, the fleshly Adam. And the two responses was this. The first one was, okay, cool, there's issues here. How do I become someone that I can self-regulate, and even in this chaos, I can kind of float above it and still be a good person? And so that was something that, for me, I was like, I can't, if I get into this chaos and in this war, I'm going to be torn apart, and I can't actually learn a whole bunch here because a lot of stuff is happening. And I was actually telling the youth is, I had this chip on my shoulder. Like, I wasn't good at a lot of stuff, but I believed because I did this relatively well and I was a decent person, I was like, yo, I'm actually quite self-reliant. I'm like, so cool. Like, my friends would complain about, oh, my father didn't get me a PSP, and I'm like, bro, it's war at home, but I can still, what was the word that I used? Self-regulate. I was just like, I'm a self-regulator. And so that was the first thing that happened. And then the second thing that happened is, I don't know why, but from a young age, I was like, this is my family. God has placed me in this family. And because there's problems, I need to fix it. What did I call it, guys? Superman syndrome. I was like, I need to save my family. I'm going to save it, and no one is going to tell me anything else. And so, I was a weird child. And if you're a parent, I hope your children is not like this. I wasn't a child that got into trouble, and then my parents had to explain to me. I was a child that I'd read books on how to manage your marriage and how to manage your children properly. And then I'd make notes and then I'd go to my parents and be like, this is all the things that you're doing wrong and this is how you do it right. Thank me later. It's just, yeah, it was wild. I'm like, why did I even do it? We always talk about it whenever I go to Lauren and not Hake, Hink. We always laugh about, yeah, they remember that time you read that book and told me, yeah. So, but I was seriously, I'm like, I'm going to save my family. Like, this is my family. Doesn't matter if I made the problems or not, this is my family. And God placed me, yeah. And so that's what I grew up in. And so now, but we come into church and things are not like at home. And you know, when you just, and this is the part that I'm talking about. I came to church, but I wasn't necessarily a part of church. Just came here, we left immediately. And so grew up, got into high school, and I felt like God drew me a bit closer to church. And so, but I was one of those people, you come 1 week, and then the next week you're not there. And then you come 1 week and then you kind of join worship team. But then I remember sending Rian so much messages. Hey, Rian, sorry, bro. Like, I can't make it. Like, 7:30, like, already into worship team practice. So God drew me. He was drawing me closer. But I just, there wasn't a measure of urgency to get to church. It was just like, I need to go because God's telling me. But still having these two chips on my shoulder. And I remember, this is wild. Okay, come and tell the story. So, I'm skipping to final year varsity. That's me, 21 or 22. So, I'm in my BTEC year. Lauren is in a master's for neuropsychology. That's wild. And my brother is in matric. Man was, he did 8 subjects. Why did he do 8 subjects? I don't know why, but he was hashtag overachieving. So, now we're all in our final year of everything. And I remember it was, I think, May or something. And my mother started getting a cough. And then she went to the doctor. And then she didn't get better. And then she went to the doctor again. And then they told her, listen, there's something wrong. You need to go to the hospital. And I remember they had to, the doctor was Afrikaans. What did he say? Voog op die longe, I don't know, water. Voog, sorry guys. I need to practice my Afrikaans more. But he was like, listen, there's a problem. And so what they did was, because my mother was struggling to breathe, they literally like made a hole into her lung, and then literally she had like this thing, and every morning before varsity, I'd had to like drain blood and things out of her lungs so she could breathe. And so it was quite hectic. And I just remember those two chips, hashtag self-regulator, and I'm going to save my family, is here. It's kind of my identity at this point. Like this, I don't care what other people say, other people do. I'm a self-regulator. I'm going to save my family. And then what happened was, so we didn't know. All we know, mother's sick. She's getting worse. And I'm not going to, there's a lot of stuff I can share through that. But 3 months into it, they told us, I don't know how it took 3 months to diagnose this, but 3 months into it, they told us, mother has stage 4 terminal cancer. We can't operate. You have like a year. And then they told us, this is going to happen. She's going to deteriorate and all of this. And so I remember the day we were all at home. My sister just came home. And this is a month after they told us this. And I remember my mother really couldn't breathe. And the last thing she told me was like, pray for me. And so got down and I started praying for her. And she passed away in our home that morning. But it was like, they told us just, listen, you have a year, and we were still trying to figure stuff out. And then 1 month, and then she passed away. And 2 things happened in that moment, or in that period. There's 2 things that was my identity. The thing of, I'm going to save my family. My mother's dead. I can't save a family. I can't save the body. And it can't be completely healthy. Because my picture in my head for my family was, yo, if we can get to a point where we can sit down and have a meal and just laugh with each other, that's the goal. So I'm like, that can't happen. I can't. Superman syndrome. Ha, you're not Clark Kent. Bah, done. And then the second thing was, so I'm in my final year of varsity, and they told us, the education department came, and they are canceling our course. You need to pass this year. If you don't pass, you can't come back. And so I failed hectically that year because I stopped going to varsity and I was like, I'm going to take care of my mother. And so I failed, I think I got like 7% for theory which is wild. And so these two chips, this identity things, just fell off. I was like, I can't, this is, I don't know. Have you ever been in a situation where you stand and you go, I don't, what now? I don't know. And I remember calling Rian and just said, yo, it was a wild morning. And so the next day, I'm standing in my yard, and I'm just going like, yo, I don't know how we're going to survive. Because now my brother's in matric, and I know he needs to go to varsity next year. I just failed my studies, and I can't go back. So it's like 4 years of like, what did I actually do? And then my parents was also in quite a bit of debt, and so I knew we were going to have to take care of that. And so one of the things that we were busy sorting out is my mother didn't have a will. And so we were busy sorting that out, and when my mother passed away, we didn't have it sorted out. And so my mother had a lot of stuff also taken out, and I think we missed 1 month payment because we were busy transferring things. And then they told us, listen, we're not going to pay anything out because you missed the 1 month. And if you know anything about insurance and things like that, like if you miss something and it's in the finer details, they're going to find a way to not pay you. And so we were like, this is the situation, but we went, there's no money for anything. We have no clue how this is going to work. And I remember standing in my yard and going, God, I don't know. Like, I got saved at a young age, and I'm in my head, I'm going like, I need to get multiple jobs. I don't know how this is going to work. And I remember going like, I need something to cope. And I was like, I've never drank, smoke, like, you know, all the stuff that you stay away from because you know God is real. I was like, I think it's time, like, for me to explore this stuff because, I need to get this job. Aaron needs to go to varsity. We need to pay. I was like, I don't know. I'm going to do this. And what happened straight after that was, oh, let me say this. Like, I was really faithless in the moment. I was like, I don't know. Got to my first scripture. Let's go. Hank, can you put up 2 Timothy 2:1-13? Pretty simple one. I don't really know if I'm quoting this in the right context, but I definitely felt faithless. And this is the truth that I realized in that moment. Like, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. It's like God's character is faithful. And so I remember straight after me going, actually telling God, like, you're not enough for this situation. I know you're real because you showed that to me, but you're not enough for the situation. And God straight after that told me in a very gentle voice, like, Adam, you are my son, and I take care of my own. And I was like, okay, cool, God. Son. And then the next day I went to varsity. I'm walking to varsity because I study design. I don't work at the post office. Some of the youths think I work at the post office. How do I look like I work at the post office, bro? Anyway, so now I go to varsity and I'm picking up my items, my design items. I know I failed. I'm like, got the report card and everything. And this lady called Alejandra, she walks past me and she's like, hey, Adam, I'll see you for the interview tomorrow. And then I looked at my lecturer, like, I was like, firstly, how does this lady know my name? And secondly, what is happening? What? And then he called me into his office and he's like, listen, we know you failed. We understand your situation. But practically what this lady did, she started a leather company. And so somehow in varsity, I got busy with leather things. And so I started making leather things. And they said, you were the best candidate for the situation. We know you failed, but you're the best candidate. So we've organized an interview for you. So I didn't pray for anything. I just went. And God told me, just, I'm going to take care of you. And so now I go to the interview. Yo, the story's wild. So I go to the interview next day, and this lady gives me a leather bag. No? And she's like, okay, I want you to, please don't ask me to do this. But she's like, I want you to analyze this and tell me what's wrong with it. And then I started like going down the list. And then I started questioning, like, why would you make a bag like this? Well, who did this? Like, why? And then she stopped me and she was like, okay, cool. I'm not going to interview anyone else. I want you for the job. I didn't know that she made the bag. So I got my first job scolding my boss. I was like, it's like, why is this skew? Like, who decided to? It's wild. So got a job. Then I think a week later, my lecturer, my other lecturer, called me in, and she was like, listen, we know you failed. The course is abolished, but we spoke to the education department, and we're allowing you to come back next year to study. And so God organized that. So now we're still waiting for Sanlam to come back because my mother's a lot, and I think it was her funeral cover was also part of that. And so we're like, we need to bury my mother in 2 weeks. We have no money. We have nothing. And so I remember people, and this is not even just church, people were just like, we want to give. And then we got to a point in, I think, 3 days. We need to go check the casket, and we're like, how are we going to pay this? Like, we're like, we got the cheapest amount. We got a contact from an uncle that knows a bra. And so it's like, listen, I'm going to organize a bit cheap for you. We're like, we still can't afford cheap. And I think in 2 days, like, we like had more than enough money to pay for my mother's funeral. And then also what happened was, this is also funny, we kept on getting food from church to the point, this is the only thing I asked. I contacted Rian and I'm like, can you please stop? There's no space in the fridge. Like, there's nothing left. We've frozen things. It's like we sorted for the next month and a half. And so that's the one thing that I did ask. Please stop. And then that happened. And then the other thing that happened was Sanlam eventually came back to us. Oh, I don't know if I should have said Sanlam. Oopsie. But the insurance company came back to us. And they were like, listen, we're going to pay everything out. Like, even the things that we didn't claim for. So everything that my mother ever took out, we got paid that out. And so, yeah. And so in a just a gentle voice, God coming and telling me, like, I'm faithless, he's faithful. I'm going to take care of you because you're my son. And he just came and took care of me. And so that's the first part. Ooh, next slide. No, that's too far. Okay. So, but the truth is, my mother was a superwoman, and to be honest, I didn't really have a relationship with my father. And so, as much as God took care of me, and I realized that, this is the first thing that he did. He took two things of my identity. I'm going to save things. I'm a self-regulator. And he replaced it with, you are my child, and I love you. And so, that was the first thing. But the second thing was, like, I still kind of feel like an orphan. Like, my mother did everything with us, and she kind of did everything for us. And so, I'm like, I don't have any place to go. And I remember God coming to me and telling me, like, listen, I know that's what you feel like, but there's a place for you, and that's in my house, in the Father's house. So step into my house and watch how I'll clothe you, I'll feed you, I'll give you purpose. Like, if you're lonely, you will find family here. And so I'm like, okay, cool, God. I'm going to do that. And so I want to say this, family, church, this morning, as much as God came and did things, and he did amazing things, that first year was hard. It wasn't, it's like, you can ask Aaron, I had to start learning how to cook, and I'd like throw cayenne pepper off of the bottle in one. It was bad. Wait, I must tell you this. We made a pizza once, no? And I'm like, surely 500 grams of mince is fine. And then we made the pizza, and then the mince was like on the pizza like this. We're like, it's edible. That's fine. It's sorry. So yeah, it was wild. Like, we'd have to like eat a third of the plate, take a break, and then eat a third of the plate. Because we can't waste it. We're like, is it really? And so I had to learn how to cook, but I had to wake up 5 o'clock, go to work, get home 6 o'clock, and then I had to make food and clean, and then like 10 o'clock I'd start studying and doing varsity work, and then I'd go sleep 1 o'clock, and it was a repeat Monday to Saturday, like that. And also the money that we got, it, like, yes, God provided, but it was like I couldn't just use money for anything. Like, I had to still go, okay, I need to use this for this and this. And so that first year was hard. But I remember, this is the first time Rian used this word, and I'm going to borrow it on Tuesday in our leaders' time. And it was the word is urgency. It's the first time in my life where church became an urgency. So just remember, before this, I was like, I'm coming, but I'm not coming. And I'm like, it's fine, it's not fine. I remember that first year, I was like, I need to get to church. I don't have a car. I live 30 minutes away. I don't know how I'm going to get here, but I need to get to church because I feel like I'm going to die if I don't get here. And you might be going like, Adam, that's wild. I want to explain something. So if you know God is real and he's revealed who he is to you, and you go, I'm going to deny you and I'm going to follow, go back to my old ways. Scripture is very clear. If you go back to your old ways, there's nothing that can save you. And so I realized in a situation, like spiritually, I practically wanted to commit suicide spiritually. And so I'm like, if I don't go to God, I'm going to die, literally. And so church became that. I was like, I need to get there. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I need to get there. Otherwise, I'm going to die. It was a fight. And it was a fight like this. All my emotions told me, bro, you are tired from the week. You have 20 hours of sleep. The food is messing you up on the inside, like, because it was wild. And finances was like, this is not going to work. And so the fight, I didn't have to kick down people. And the fight was here. It was like, I need. But there was this a beautiful silver line that was of thought that was bigger and greater than all of that. Just get to the Father's house. Just get there. And so my struggle was this. I just need to get here. And I remember I did wild stuff. And I think Lauren was scolding me out a lot from because I walked. She's like, why are you walking? Ask me for help. And so I did weird stuff. I took two taxis. Then I walked from Vasco. And then I took train late at night. It was wild. But I was like, I need to get here. And that was the victory. I don't know if you've ever played sports and you scored a winning goal. Coming to church was like that. Like, I know we go like, oh, you must bring what you have. Me getting into the building was just like, yes, I've won. And then I'll get in, sit on a chair, and I'm weg. I'm gone. I'm just like, and I'm not going to lie, that first year, and preaching is important and worship is important, I can't remember a single thing of what was preached or the worship. To be honest, the worship team probably could sing like Baba Black Sheep, and Ryan could get up in a tutu preaching in Koza, and I'd be like, sharp. No, literally that first year, like my 100% and the urgency was, I just need to get here. And that was all I did. I just got here. And I was like, thank you, God, for getting me here. Okay, now there's a Wednesday. Uncle Bobby still used to, this is how you know you're loved. When people just don't go, oh, it's fine. I used to come to church. And I'm like, I'm tired. And Uncle Bobby's like, how are you doing, Adam? I'm like, I'm tired, Uncle Bobby. He's like, no, man, you can't be tired always. What is happening? And then we talk about it. And then he need courage and sometimes pray for me. And so, yeah. So I can't remember what was happening here. But I have so much stories of what happened here in and amongst us. And our God, and this is the thing, God is like, step into the Father's house and I'll clothe you and I'll feed you and I'll give you purpose. God didn't do that through randomly, yes, he can move from manna from heaven and all of this. He actually expressed his love through the church and through all of you. And so, and I don't just mean that practically. I remember Auntie Ophelia once, I was walking and I'm like, I really need a hug. I miss my mother. And I'm walking and Auntie Ophelia stops me. I don't know if you remember this, Auntie Ophelia, but Auntie Ophelia's like, I just feel like God is telling me I need to give you a hug. And I'm like, man, that's what I needed. And so there's two stories that I want to, I must quote scripture. Sorry. I think it's this one. Okay, this is one that we... I'm going to tell the second story and then go with the scripture. But now, my identity is just God loves me and he's calling me to his house, right? But I feel like I know nothing. And so I'm going to tell two stories, even though I have multiple stories. And so what I started doing is, because I couldn't afford traveling the whole time, so I'd start sleeping over at people's places. Oh, wait, I must tell you the story. Is Jordan here? Is Jordan not here? Yes, this man is wild. I must get him back for this. So the first time I sleep over at Jordan's place, he's like, come over, bro. And they have like a separate room. And he's like, I'm just going to change the bedding cover for you. I'm like, what a thoughtful man. Like, thank you so much. And won't this guy, he's changing it. There's a smile on his face. It's like, oh, it's ready for you. I'm like, okay. I just want to say I support Liverpool. Never walk alone. And so I walk into the room, and I wanted to walk out and just, because he put everything was Manchester United. Everything. Now I must go sleep, and there's a little devil manichi. It's like, why would you do that? So yeah, I will get him back for that. But that's not one of the two stories that I want to say. But I started sleeping over at people's places. Literally, people were like, hey, you need food. Here's food. Hey, you need clothes. Here's clothes. Here's a fun fact. So Rian wore something last week to present something. It's like a kiaon, yapon. Yeah? So I will say this, besides my shoes, everything that I'm wearing is actually things people have blessed me with. And so there's a pants that someone is like, you need a pants. Socks? I don't know how people look at you and go like, this guy needs socks. But like literally, when I say, oh, he clothed me, I don't mean like, oh, he spiritually clothed, like he literally clothed me through using people. The story. Oh, yes. So I'm at the, is the paradox here? No. Okay, so now I'm in the paddock community, and I'm sleeping over at Carlos and Grisant's place every now and again, and I'm sleeping over at the paddock's place. And I remember once getting to come from varsity, and I didn't ask, can I please sleep over? But now it's 9 o'clock, and I'm like, I can't get home. And I was like, can I please sleep over? And I'm like, oh, you know, like they're gonna scale me out, and like I should have been more wise, and all of this. And I remember the paddock sitting there, and Carlos and Grisant sitting there, and they were like, no, come sleep over by us. And they're like, no, come sleep over by us. And they were like, no, you don't come to us anymore. What is happening? It was like literally two people fighting, like, yeah, come eat my food. My couch is better than yours. It's like, we have two blankets. Oh. It was wild. And I like there was a moment, and this is also the second thing that God added to me. Because that time I wasn't adding anything of great significance in that sense. I wasn't leading worship. I wasn't practically doing anything. I just came to church and I sat here. And there was this thing of like, if two people that don't know me at all can fight, just have me in their house and clothe me and feed me, then that must mean that I'm not just loved by God, but I'm loved here more than anything that I give. And so that's the second thing that God added to me. I think there is a scripture of that. Oh, yeah, no. No, okay, it's fine. I'm going to move on. No. Move on. Okay, move on. There's one. No, I'm not going to share that. No, I'm going to share the story. Okay, sorry. Second story. I remember, and this is an encouragement for maybe you just come to church and you feel like that's not a lot. And I remember this was before I got a car or anything or sleeping over. So I took two taxis. Oh, I had a 50 rand. That's all I had. We didn't have electricity and we didn't have any food. And I should have asked church, but I didn't know how to ask for things that time. And so, like, you know, this is the scripture says where we are weak, like, God is wrong. It's like where I was dumb, God was wise. It's just, no, literally. And so I'm like, I've lost 50 rand. I need to get to church or I'm going to die. I don't know what's going to happen when I get home. But I'm like, I'm going to get two taxis, 15 rand, get to Vasco, walk, and then I'm going to use the last 15 rand to get back to Belleville and then just walk all the way home. I'm like, okay, cool. I have a plan. It's fine. I might get robbed, but it's fine. I don't have anything. So they're going to rob nothing. So literally, I was like, and so I walk, I think it was like 40 minutes from Vasco to here. I walk into the church and I'm like, yes, I got you. And as I walk in, Elder comes to me and she gives me an envelope, a white envelope. And I'm like, ooh, this never happened before. And then I just put it in my pocket. Church service happened. And after service, I opened it. And now you can put up Matthew 6, 25 to 33. And I don't know who gave, I don't know who wrote this, I don't know who it came from, but whoever it was, thank you. We had nothing. And so I opened it and someone was just like, hey, Adam, we see how you come to church every week and that's such an encouragement to us. So keep on keeping on. And then the encouragement to me was Matthew 26:33. And so I'm going to read it in a bit, but I want to say this. Maybe you think you give nothing here, but even you just being here could be an encouragement to someone. And so, yeah, I think you can go ahead. I'm going to read it. Yeah. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about... Actually, why am I doing that? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Yeah, Solomon didn't have jeans like this, bro. If that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so this was the encouragement to me when I walked into church. And I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're lacking or whether it's emotional, spiritual, like, but you're... I found that if I seeked him first, and seeking him first was just getting here. Like, he took care of all the practical needs. And again, he took care of it through the vehicle of the church and through you guys. Yes, that is the two stories. Yes. Can I ask you to put up one more scripture? Acts 4:32-35. And so, like, we are a church that models ourselves around the Bible, which sounds obvious, but that's not necessarily true everywhere. And so this is something that happened in the early church, and this is something that I've experienced here. So I'm just going to read it quickly for us, because, again, I'm telling stories, but I want to say that it's also in Scripture. Acts 4:32. All the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. I want to say this. Adam in himself, I couldn't take care of any of my needs by myself. And then I stepped into church and I lacked nothing. In that scripture, it says they shared everything like it wasn't their own. People borrowed their cars for weeks to me. They literally went, there's my bed, there's my clothes, you can wear it. Like Adam by himself, I lacked everything. Adam in church, I lacked nothing. So for that 4 or 5 years after my mother passed away, there was never a day that I didn't have food or clothes or a place to sleep. And so I just want to clarify that. And so, yes. So now I'm getting to the main part of it. And so I'm not just sharing my story this morning as, well, hopefully it is an encouragement. But I do believe that God wants to speak to, I think, 3 groups of people here this morning. And so the first group of people that I want to address is those that have faithfully toiled and that have given themselves in a way that people don't actually see. Again, I'm not just talking about on stage on a Sunday, but those that open their homes up, that fight for you to, like, come into my house, I have more blankets. And there's a lot of good, faithful servants here. And I want to say, as Adam, as a son in this house, I want to say thank you for caring for me. Thank you. And I want to, this is the encouragement that I feel like God is telling to you, this group of people. Can you put Galatians 6:9-10 up, please? So it says, let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we not give up. And then can you put up Luke 6:38, please? I feel like this is what God is saying, like, in this keep on keeping on. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I want to say there's so much that people have given to me, and for those that have given, don't grow weary of doing good. At the right time, God will reward you, whether it's on earth or in heaven. I think it's kind of better to get your reward in heaven, just saying. And then the second group of people that are just your, I want to encourage. Maybe you're sitting here and you feel like you're on the fringes. You don't feel like you're a part. You just come and you leave. Or maybe you kind of come to come, but no one is really knowing what's happening in your life. Maybe you feel lonely, broken. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you feel orphaned and you have no place to go. I want to say that there's place for you here. And I'm not saying that because I see it somewhere else. It was like I had nothing and I stepped into the Father's house and he took care of me. So there's place for you here. And I want to say this very clearly. There's place for you here, not just for the good stuff, but Yaku said it earlier, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, I can tell you there's times where I sat on people's couches and told them wild stuff, and there was space for me there. And I want to say this, it's not space for you to stay in your, again, like me being dumb, like I had to learn how to ask for help. It's not to stay there, but actually so that God can pour his grace out through people so that you can step out of it. And so there's place for you here. And I want to encourage you in this. Church is the one place where you can be very forward. If you hear someone else going, oh, we're going to go to Brick Lane and use our entertainer app, 2-for-1 special, you can just go like, ah. I want to be blessed with a 2-for-1 special. Like, I'm telling you, the amount of times that I've done that, and people just stop, and then their brains calculate, and like, yeah, I still have like 3 entertainer apps. So, if you're not with FNB, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to promote it, but it is a money saver. Just saying. No, but even like, just walk up to someone and be like, hey, can I come to your house? It sounds weird, but I swear, I don't think anyone has ever told me no, outside of the fact that it's like, hey, I'm going to a wedding, I can't. Yeah, it's unfortunately, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, no, not this week, but next week. And so, the biggest thing in my heart was like, I had to fight was, no one understands what I'm going through. And so, the pull of my heart was this. Let me just get comfortable with my loneliness and woe is me and my life sucks and I'm just going to stay here. And I become friends with that. And I encourage you, don't become friends with that because you'll get stuck there and the longer you stay there, it's way harder to get out. And so if that's what you're feeling this morning, like there's space for you here for good, bad, and ugly. And then the third group of people, and I think this is like my last point and then I'm going to finish. Third group of people, I want to speak to us as a family, is there was a time like where I was kind of wishy-washy and I came to calm and I did things, but there wasn't a measure of urgency in my life. And I felt very clearly this week that God, like he wants to warn myself, but even some of us too, he's not interested in getting by the 50%. Like, if we come and we go, I'm 50% devoted to you, God, I don't know if that is what God is looking for. There's something that I think Rian said it, I might be wrong, I might be quoting someone else. But his thing, that thing's always stuck with me. God is not interested in more of you. So 50%, okay, 55% is interested in all of you. And his heart is so pleased when we bring everything to him. And I want to say this. In that year when my mother passed away and I was coming to church, my 100% was just getting here. And so your 100, for all of us, 100% will look different. It's up to what God has placed on your heart, but give everything to Him. And I just want to read a portion of scripture that just shows God's heart towards like what it looks like when we give everything. I think it's Mark 12, 41 to 44. I think it's that one. Yes. So I'm just going to read the story quickly and just look at God's response to this lady. Jesus sat, Mark 12, 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, he said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything all she had to live on. And so God's response to how much you give is not the way it looks. We think, like maybe if I stand on stage, that's a lot. But to be honest, like I live around the corner and getting to church is actually not that hard. For me, this is not 100%. It's how I respond to my brother at home. It's how I give myself to church. Like that's 100%. And so I want to say this. If your 50% even looks 10 times more than someone's 100%, it's still not what God is after. Like, please don't compare what you are giving to someone else. Because that person might just have two pennies and that's their 100%. And to God, that two pennies is more worth than, I don't know, whatever the other people were giving. And so please, family, don't get stuck in, I'm okay with just 50%. I don't think God's coming back for a bride that's devoted 50%. It's like bride walking down the aisle, one eye on God and other eye on its other lovers. Like, he's not coming back for that. And so, please give yourself 100%, whatever that looks like. And please don't compare yourself to anyone else, whether you have little or whether you have much. And so I'm going to end with this. I think you can put up Ephesians 4, 1, Hank. And so I want to end with this and say again, like, from my side as Adam, thank you for taking care of me. I do believe that God is doing a work here, but it's for us to respond, whether it's keeping on, whether it's bringing 100%, or whether it's just, I just need to show people my good, my bad, and ugly. And I think this is God's heart for his church. Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, not to that. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, this is Paul speaking. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling you have received. Is this the right one? Yes. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so I want to say this, I think God's heart is for us to be one. And so we all have different, we're in different spaces, we have all different capacities. But for all of us, again, those three things that I've mentioned, like if you feel like God is highlighting something in each of that, there's a space for us to step into as a community of believers to be one. But we need to give ourselves to one another. And so, yeah. Thank you, Mensa.